Welcome back, everybody. Time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and led by this show, the man who knows everybody. He's going to prove it today here.
John. Thank you, Mr. Paul Roberts.
You didn't even give me a chance to say your name here.
Go ahead.
John Gutierrez, Mr. OC.
Thank you, Paul. And thank you, everybody, again, for joining us here at the, of course, our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, John Gutierrez, Senior Vice President here. And with us today, we have another one of our superstar community guest members here, Doctora Yesenia De Leon, who's the Executive Director of Uplift Youth Foundation. Uplift Youth Foundation is a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting youth mental wellness through mindfulness movement, meditation, journaling, and meaningful connection. Over the past year, Uplift has served 4,200 plus youth and delivered 570 plus program hours, with 97% of participants reporting in improved mental wellness after participating in their programs. Welcome to the show, Doctora Yesenia De Leon.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
This is, I got to tell you, I went on the website and this is a great organization. There's a lot of good things you guys, great things you guys are doing. We're going to get into all that, folks, which I think is very important. If you're tuning in with us today for the first time, you've never seen our podcast, the show is really about sharing with you in the community resources and support. And you never know, maybe you're viewing the show, but your neighbor or somebody you know can benefit from resources like today, having La Doctora on our show. And so we're going to get into the organization, what it all provides, and some good stuff that's coming up. But first and foremost, we love to get to know our guest. And we'd love for you to let us know a little bit about yourself and maybe just where you grew up and how you ended up at this great organization.
Yeah, thank you so much. I have been a Southern California girl for my entire life. Grew up in Bellflower, which is near Long Beach.
Nice.
And I went to school originally for criminal justice, and I started seeing this pull to mental health. So I eventually got my master's and PhD in social work, emphasizing implementation science. I've largely worked in the nonprofit space for maybe now over 10 years, and being able to really help sustainability of nonprofits is so important. And I was trained as a therapist, but I figured out very quickly that wasn't my role. I believe so much about therapy and things like that, but I started finding my passion for helping those who are helping others and seeing how much impact they can have on the youth that we are trying to raise.
So your passion evolved. It changed.
Yes.
Because you thought you were going to get into one thing, but totally change different directions. Why did that happen, if you don't mind sharing with us?
So it actually was inspired by some personal things that happened in my life. I lost my sister to cancer.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thanks. Wow. Me too.
This was at a young age for you?
So this happened maybe 10 years ago. So it's really around the time that my passion really started like growing a lot. So I was struggling with my own mental health. I really learned how to compartmentalize my feelings, which is not a good thing as an adult, right? And I saw my nephews, they were 6 and 8 years old when their mom passed. And seeing how much they were struggling with growing up without a mom and trying to really wrestle with these feelings that they're having and trying to live a normal life. Mm-hmm. And I saw how much their schools were really helping them with different programs and counselors, and that was a huge impact. As a family, though, we actually also started working with an organization that has meditation. So we started implementing that for ourselves with them, and we saw a complete change. And when I saw, wow, these kids would have gone down a very different direction had they not had these mental health supports, I want to be able to be there for other kids who are going through that. So that was really largely what inspired me to go this route.
It's interesting because you mentioned a few things that I want to touch on. One is bereavement.
Yeah.
It's something that we often talk about actually on the show because of us being in hospice with my wife and our healthcare company. And in hospice, we see there's a lot of support that we provide in the bereavement process, right? With a lot of social workers, like we talked about before the show, right? So you probably understand the 7 stages of grief, right? Of bereavement. And I'm sure you unfortunately had to go through that with your whole sister situation, right? We just saw a movie, my wife and I, it's interesting, on Netflix, that has to do a lot. It's kind of like a fun, I'm trying to remember the name. My wife's going to kill me if she sees the show. But it was like a fun comedy kind of show about a young lady who loses her sister to cancer, too. And she's actually sending voicemails to her sister's old phone because she's passed already.
Yeah.
But it's a way for her to bereave her death, right? And she's leaving her messages all the time. Lo and behold, her sister's phone had been changed to somebody else. And the person listening to the voicemails is a young man who ends up falling in love with her just by all her voicemails. It's a really cool love story, right? But the movie's about bereavement.
Yeah.
And so it's really also about mental health. It's really about all that this young lady was going through. And most recently, we went to Joshua Tree to visit a family. And the home we stayed in is owned by a young man who's big into all of this. And he happens to be the boyfriend of my niece. And his home in Joshua Tree has basically a sound bath. What is that? Where they,
oh, wow.
Where you go outside, like, and you everybody lay down on our backs, middle of the night, we're looking at the stars, and he did the sound thing.
Sound healing,
yes.
That's amazing.
And it was just interesting because as Latinos, we had never done anything like that. And Kyle's like, okay, everybody's going to go outside. We're all going to lay down. He had all these mats set up for us. And we're all looking at each other. We just got done doing a carne asada. You know what I mean? You want us to lay
down?
Yeah, what is this, right? As Latinos, it's kind of hard for us to understand. But once we were in the moment and we were there and he was doing all this, it was so relaxing.
Yeah.
My boys got to experience it. And I saw that on the website. You guys do all of this.
We do so many different types of interventions that our concept is really try it on, see how it feels, right? Mm. Just like you try on a jacket. Sometimes it feels a little itchy. Sometimes it doesn't fit right, but you tried it on. And that's what we like to do is we offer so many different avenues of different coping skills and tools, really. And sometimes you need a tool more for this particular situation or over another. But the thing is being open to it. Like you said, you went and you're like, okay, this isn't what I'm used to, but I'm going to be open to it. Now, if you can do that when you're a kid, you're equipped now with different things that you can help you in adulthood.
I think that it's something that is beautiful to see that our young generations can find those tools that they need, which will go hopefully further in life with them to deal with other types of stress. When you have a job and you have quotas or projects to get done, they're learning these skills at a young age. Tell us about the organization for anyone that doesn't know about, of course, Uplift Youth Foundation. Give us a history on it, if you don't mind here, and sharing more about it in depth.
Yeah, so I started about a year ago, but this organization was launched in 2014, and it was actually inspired by two of the founders. And just to illustrate how dire this was, one founder, Erica, she lost her brother to an overdose. So she went around speaking to different campuses and talking about the importance of mental health and how to cope with it, as she was using this as a way for her to cope as well. Camila, our other co-founder, she really experienced a lot of isolation as a teen and was experiencing bullying. So these are like real experiences that they used to inspire of the foundation to help others around. And we bring in so many different types of tools that as we're talking about journaling. For example, I never really liked journaling. I felt it was not really my thing. But when I gave it a chance more and more, I'm like, okay, this is not so bad. Different types of meditation, different breathing techniques, mindful movement. So it's really about getting out of your head and most importantly, reflecting on what's going on in there. Being able to just find resources for yourself to be able to not only use for yourself, but also to help with others. So we have assemblies that we launch school-wide. We have a foundation series where I actually go in and meet with students once a week for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and teaching them these skill sets and really implementing them day to day. And a step further is our Mindful Leader Certification Program, where we actually certify students to first integrate these tools into their daily practice, but also to be able to facilitate for others. So they actually end the certification program with leading their peers and even their families. We have a lot of feedback from our kids who are saying, I went home and I realized that I was teasing my sister a lot and she didn't like that. And now I stopped doing that. And it made me laugh when I saw that because being a little sister myself, I know what that feels like. But for her to have that realization, that can change that relationship between her and her sister.
Yeah.
So it's really beautiful to see how much of an impact someone's story can have in being able to spread wellness for others.
It's really interesting. Obviously, I mentioned to you, I have a son, I have two boys. And my son, Jonathan, has been thinking about pursuing sociology.
Yeah.
And I know you mentioned earlier, psychology is one of your other, right, mm-hmm. passions or degree. And we were talking about personality traits, right? And a little bit about how I've learned to really appreciate and love learning different personality traits. And so I was showing him a little bit about the difference between an amiable personality and a driver personality, mm-hmm. and analytical and an expressive. And for us, this is good in the industry we're in, as doing podcasts or doing things like psychology, right? Therapy, things like that. But I think we're seeing more and more in general, there's a big generation of amiable personalities because of not as many kids are out in the community like we were in our days, my days. You're out in the streets, and we grew up in the 80s and the 90s just playing and being expressive. And most kids today are in their rooms. The pandemic kind of forced everybody to be in homes, in their
Absolutely.
Rooms. They're all gaming now. So we're also seeing as a chamber, again, as the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, we're seeing and we're hearing through a lot of businesses that as these young people are coming up in the generation, like my son or others, there's very few that have those communication skills, those people skills. They're more amiable personalities, very caring, very loving, very emotional, but also very introverts, right?
Yeah.
It's just, it's interesting. You're seeing more of that as opposed to our generation was more expressive, right? More drivers. And I explained to my son, there's no difference other than the fact that you have to learn to watch what you say, how you say it, because some people can be emotionally not as strong as you. And like you said right now, sometimes people can joke around, right?
Yeah.
But it could be hurting someone else's feelings, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's what's great of organizations like yours, because we're being considerate of a group of, let's say, people that have been in some sort of pain, right? They've been hurt or something's going on in their life, right?
Yeah. You just don't know what anyone else is going through.
Yeah.
And myself, this is not a technical word, but I was always emotionally constipated, which just means like I would always hold in my feelings. I wouldn't vocalize it. Mm. And you know, a big, large part of our program is really encouraging the peer-to-peer connection. And not just peers, but being able to talk about these hard things.
Yes.
Being able to put words to how I'm feeling or to what I'm going through. And with that Mindful Leader program is like, how do you help others also do that? We have kids who are like, I taught my mom this regulation tool that I learned and she really likes it. And it's how can you spread wellness even more? And understanding that it's okay to have feelings. And I always use this example, but like you don't get embarrassed to go to the doctor to fix a broken arm, right? You're just like, I'm going to go because I need intervention.
Yeah.
But for mental health, sometimes we shy away from it. We don't want to admit we need help. We don't want to mm-hmm. talk about it. So it's really opening that conversation and normalizing. And when you can see a teen being able to not only understand what they're going through, but be able to set an example for their peers, they're able to really say, I'm going through this right now. I'm feeling this. Do you need help? Like now that I have my cup full, I can help others too. So it's transformative.
I'm listening to you and my world is just like going into, I have a younger son who's very different than his older brother. He's exactly what you're talking about. He's very introvert. He could drive in the car with me for an hour and I get two words out of him, right? So it can be quite the challenge to, so Eli, how's school? How's this? But I also noticed that he has a great heart. He's a good kid. He's very lovable. He's very caring. He hugs his grandma all the time. So it's just understanding that personality, right?
Absolutely.
Understanding their behavior, which I love. When I went to your website and I was looking up everything you guys were doing, and I saw, I think you have testimonials or something from the kids, and I was loving what they were saying. And I thought, wow, this is so cool.
Thank you.
How you're able to impact, you know, I try not to say so much kids with mental health because I don't want to make them feel like, oh, they're in a corner, right? But it has become somewhat of a topic. We've had other organizations on here and people are trying to do music therapy, right? We had Andy Vargas here.
That's nice.
He's the lead singer of Carlos Santana, and he has a youth foundation that's helping with music therapy, right?
Wow.
So to see you all doing so many different things, it's really great. So kudos to you, kudos to your organization and everybody on the team, because you're doing some amazing work. What's the future? What's going on? What is coming up? I think you have like a fundraiser, right? Share with us some of that.
Absolutely. So we had our annual fundraiser just last month, but we still actually have a silent auction that's open for anyone who's interested in bidding and supporting the cause. But largely what we really like to partner with several organizations. We had an event with the Los Angeles Angels, with the Sacramento Kings, several different organizations around the area, like Orangewood Foundation. We had an event with Girls Inc. and a lot of different schools. We are constantly finding ways to invite the community to be able to participate and to support the mission. We will be having more events that are open to the community, and I would love to share once those open how we can continue showing up for our teens.
Yes, I have a few questions here. I want to make sure we touch on these points. You mentioned the mission. So what inspired Uplift's mission, and what gap were you seeing for youth mental health? We might have touched already on some of these, but just want to make sure we touch on the mission.
Thank you. So that mission is to really empower youth for their mental wellness. And we're also seeing a lean towards workforce development, which is why we started that certification program, largely one of the bigger ones that we want to keep rolling out. Mm. Because it's what we're seeing is, like you were saying, we have sometimes that disconnect between being able to vocalize what we're going through, grappling with the feelings that we're having internally, but also the soft skills of just being able to become a leader. That comes with confidence, that comes with being able to facilitate conversations, difficult conversations. You can have a class that teaches public speaking, but can you really confidently go in front of your classmates and say, this is what I've been going through. If you're going through this too, let's talk about it. That's a really key driver. So when I'm a researcher from my training, so looking at the pre-surveys and the post results is seeing that these kids, which is where we get the testimonials from, they're saying, I have so much more confidence to lead a group. Where I remember being in school and you have to ask for a volunteer to lead something, and I have no one who raises their hand. But when you're empowering these kids to be able to communicate and really speak from the heart about what's going on, you can see the changes. And the parents are also coming to us like, oh my gosh, my kid is so different. The teachers are like, yeah, they're actually doing their homework now. You can see so many changes. And when you think about the numbers of what is going on in the world, 1 in 7 youth tend to have some kind of mental health challenge. Mm. But that's just what's reported. When you're looking at a research realm, you're seeing how many kids are actually being honest about that. Mm-hmm. And the problem is often larger than we can see. But when you're seeing on the grounds, our mentors are out in these community events and having these kids week after week and seeing their changes, you can see that the gap between not having that mental health support and to being able to be a confident leader, that gap is closing with what we're offering. And it's not just us, it's all the organizations and the communities that are bridging together, the schools who are like, hey, we got their academics, can you help with their mental health? We are also seeing that a lot of schools, for example, they're not getting the funding to even support their own staff. So how can we be brought in? So what we are doing with our leadership team is going out and finding corporations who are wanting to support the mission, other nonprofits who want to partner.
You're filling in the
donors.
Gap.
Exactly.
You're filling in the gap.
Yes.
And I think that's great. It's really interesting we're talking about this, because a few weeks back when school was in session, it's summer break now, but my younger son, I saw him a little nervous, and it was his finals, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, what's going on, son? He goes, oh, I gotta go up in front of the class and present with, I guess it was like a team thing that they had to do. And I said, are you having a little bit of anxiety? A little bit? He goes, yeah, Dad, you know me. I'm not like Jonathan. I'm not one of those just to go up there. And I said, listen, I'm going to give you a couple of pointers. Yeah. First and foremost, never look at the whole audience. You look up towards the top of the head. You look behind, okay? I said, this is how I learned public speaking skills. And he's like, really? And he's in the kitchen, right, while he's getting a snack. And I'm like, this is the time I can only catch him to give him these pointers.
He's hungry.
Yeah, because once he goes upstairs and he's with the friends. And so I said to him, and son, don't be afraid to take a deep breath. Relax. And then just speak from your heart. Speak from here. There's no right or wrong. Don't overthink it. Relax. Don't overthink it. And I said, you know how many times I've been in front of thousands of people and I forget things? And you just got to take a deep breath and go with the flow.
Yeah.
They don't know. what you're going to say anyways. So
they can't be wrong if they don't know.
They don't know. So he kind of, I could tell that kind of helped him, I think. And I asked him a few days later how it went. He said it went great.
Oh, that's so good.
But what I think is interesting about what you all do is that I feel like these young people also, there's certain places that they feel more comfortable than others. Because I noticed with my son, he could be around the whole family, my younger boy, and he's very quiet. He's very, mm-hmm. and doesn't say a lot. But then the next minute he's upstairs and I hear him with his friends screaming, playing video games. And I look at my wife like, what is that, Eli upstairs or is that Jonathan? And I'd be like, that's Eli. And so I think to myself, okay, in that environment with his friends, he's very comfortable.
Yeah.
And he's very outspoken, right? Mm-hmm. You could hear him, right? And, but the minute he's been around like a group setting or something with family, he's very quiet. He's very, so it's interesting how maybe it's also the setting is what I'm trying to say.
And you see a lot of adolescents, this is what happens. It could be just a shift. You tend to be more comfortable around your friends and maybe a little bit farther from your family. And that's what happens. But when you, and that's what we're seeing across the board. But when we're asking our kiddos, how is it going? What are you, is it helping your communication? And the fact that they're mentioning it, they're talking to their family more and having these difficult conversations, it's really amazing to see that that tie between the family and kid doesn't have to be broken during this time, but in fact can be even stronger because you're having this really deep conversations. So what you're going through, a lot of parents go through. And what we're here to do is, hey, let's strengthen that bond again and help you help this kid find their voice to be comfortable to speak on anything in the family, in school, around their peers. So I definitely was like that as a kid too, very quiet. But now I'm like lecturing psychology classes or doing podcasts.
This is good to hear. This is good to hear. This is good to see because I'm hoping this happens with my son. Now, another question we have here is Uplift's approach blends mindfulness, movement, meditation, journaling, and connection. How did that combination come together and what does a session actually look like?
That's really a great question. Typically, we have all of those different mechanisms. And as I was saying before, we have that concept of try it on, see how it feels. So our programming is very customizable. So not only do we help going to a school, and we usually plan this out with different stakeholders. So it could be getting feedback from the kiddos and to form the next iteration or even the next session, the counselors, the teachers, and we can keep cultivating these most effective way of reaching the kids. And I will say there could be resistance to certain things, like we don't like group discussion, but when you actually encourage it and not necessarily forcing, but encouraging and opening the space to converse about these things, they eventually start opening up. So sometimes we're just there to plant seeds and we don't always see the bloom that comes at the end, but we're just there to hear, just try it. Just, you don't have to like it today, but you might like it tomorrow. And even though we do work largely with youth, we also have corporate workshops. So we actually were at a women's conference where we did very similar things, where we actually had the dual intention on a seed paper and plant it and being able to work on their own leadership. So this isn't just for kids, but it's for everyone, even if it's just the kid taking it home and sharing it with their family.
It's interesting because the other day, my younger son wanted to go with his friends, I guess one of the parents was going to pay for them to go what are these rooms that they go into? The at the mall?
The rage rooms or?
No, they have to solve a mystery or something.
Oh, escape rooms.
Escape rooms.
Yes, like the mind.
And it's interesting because years ago, a friend of mine, who's actually one of our members of our chamber, had opened up some escape rooms here in California. This is years ago. And people were like, oh, that'll never work. Right. And I was like, what is this escape room thing? Right. Our generation was like, that's weird. Why would you want to be locked into a room? But years later now, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's going to force them to communicate. Right. And they're going to face a challenge or some sort of, and it's a group of them. And so now that I'm looking at it and I'm looking back, I'm going, maybe these escape rooms might be an interesting thing that in the future.
Yeah.
Because he was excited to go with his friends. Last minute, they couldn't go. But I just thought, it's interesting how these kids are now excited about those kind of things. You know what I mean? Whereas in my generation, it would be like, why would I want to be stuck in a room trying to, with all of you guys?
I want to be outside.
So it's just times are changing, right? Different, I guess you could say, situations for different people. And I think what you all are doing is great. Again, I encourage anyone and everyone to go to their website. The website, what is it?
Yeah, upliftyouth.org.
Okay.
And we are always just finding different ways to collaborate with people. So if you have any, if anyone out there has any interest to partner with us, whether it's through having a sponsorship or having a corporate workshop for themselves, and or even just for a birthday party, even, we have different ways of connecting. Always looking for board members as well.
Okay.
We have, yeah, definitely contact
and
us.
Donors. At the end of the day, you're a nonprofit. A lot of you that listen to our show or view our show might be business owners, because we do a lot of topics on that. You have a choice. Yes, at the end of the year, you're going to do your taxes for your business. You're going to give your money to Uncle Sam. You have a choice. You can donate to a nonprofit, a great foundation like this, and get a tax write-off, right? And they'll talk to you about all that and how that works. But the point is, at least you know that those dollars are going towards a certain cause, like this great cause that could be in your backyard. And who knows, it could be dear to your heart, because maybe somebody you know, a neighbor, a friend, your own child might be going through these challenges, that these resources can be helpful. So I always encourage anybody listening or viewing, learn about these nonprofits. That's why they're there, and support them, donate, support them. Sometimes, like, I know you're having a fundraiser, right? You can even donate something really cool that they can then raise money, right?
Yes.
Some people have a suite to like the Honda Center or, I don't know, SoFi Stadium. You can donate that and they can fundraise it and raise money. So it's not always just money, but you can donate some cool stuff, right?
Yes, absolutely. We always welcome any help.
Paul Roberts is giving me the stinky eye. He's like, all right, John, let's wrap it up. This is how producers work. I just want to say, Doctora Gisenya De Leon, it's very honoring to see more of our Hispanic community becoming doctors and supporting the community. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And kudos to the organization. Continue doing all this great work. And come back anytime you want. When you have other fundraisers and events, we're here to support you 100%.
Really appreciate it. This is actually very fun.
How do they reach you?
Yes.
Yes. So you can always reach us at info@upliftyouth.org. And we do have a silent auction currently for a couple of different cool activities like golfing, Orange County Soccer Club. So if you're interested in making a donation or a...
enter in the raffle, right?
And yes, go ahead and enter for that silent auction. It's on our website as well.
Is that tied into an event, or is that just an ongoing silent auction that you've raised items in a way to raise money here?
So our this is actually like following our fundraiser that happened last month. We have a few remaining items that were just last minute add-ons. So why not take advantage of that opportunity? This will be open until July 31st at 5 p.m. So you have some time to
get people your bids can go on it and bid on these items that are left over.
Exactly right.
Go to the website and you'll see it there, the link, right?
Yes. Yes, All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Doctora, for being with us. Doctor De Leon. And again, folks, please support these nonprofits that are doing great things in the community. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for Uplift Youth Foundation doing what they do. And we'll see you guys next week again on our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Have a good one, folks.
Thank you.
There you have it, a very touching, real conversation about the challenges our youth face, and organizations like this one, Uplift Youth Foundation, there to help provide things they can try and test out as we continue to try new conversations and new stories right here on our only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.